Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Matters, the show in which I discuss all matters of the mind and in which I show how much mind matters. And a very warm welcome again to part 19 of Control Your Brain, Control Your Life. I am Udo Staatsbürger and I am live on air at this, for me and this program rather, unusual time of the day and day of the week. But this show is a repeat of last week's show of Wednesday evening or Thursday morning, depending on in which time zone you are. But a gremlin sneaked in again and I lost my signal from where I am to Blog Talk Radio, and I was cut off some time before the show was due to end, hence this repeat. But I would like your comments about this time slot, and if you prefer this one to my usual one, or indeed, if you would prefer any other day of the week or time of the day. As usual, I welcome your calls with questions and comments as long as they relate to the subject I'm talking about. All other questions, comments and suggestions I will answer by email. Just go to my website http://www.mindmattersonline.info. Mind Matters Online is one word. There you'll find my email address and you write to me. I will reply within 48 hours. On page 3 of my website and on the following pages, you will find recordings of all my previous radio programs for you to listen to at your leisure. Last week, I spoke about positivity and positive thinking. Today, I will talk about the powers of concentration and contemplation. Most people have an erroneous idea of what concentration is. They associate it with hard work and sometimes painful school memories, convincing themselves in the process that concentrating is difficult. If, however, you have ever lost yourself in the enjoyment of a movie or a concert, you have found that concentrating actually comes quite naturally when you are absorbed in something that you enjoy. Concentration requires no superhuman effort, but it does require practice. It is a skill that is learned and developed, and like most skills, the more you use it, the easier it becomes. In fact, as you develop your powers of concentration, not only will you find it progressively easier to direct your thoughts towards whatever purpose you have chosen, you will also find that your own mental clarity and powers of insight greatly enhance. The ability to concentrate and focus your mind on one idea, one thought, or one image is a prerequisite for using the powers of your mind. Unfortunately, if we have never trained our mind, we will probably find that it's a very unruly and active thing, moving from thought to thought without any attentiveness whatsoever. I have said so before that the mind is not designed to think in a straightforward linear way. It thinks fast forward, fast rewind, layers upon layers upon other layers in loops and roundabouts and jumping from one thought to another and yet to another one. This is one of the first things we notice as we begin to train our mind. Our mind is more restless than we realized. There is effort and willpower needed to direct it. And direct it is exactly what you must learn to do. Direct it to think the thoughts that you choose and reject the thoughts that you want to dismiss. Because as long as you give in to every single thought that pops up in your mind, letting each one take you along for a ride in whatever direction it goes, you remain caught within your fantasies, within your worries, and in your tendency towards avoidance. Each and every thought holds you in its powers. Learning to concentrate means regaining control. Steadying the mind through various concentration techniques disciplines and strengthens the mind. And this in turn allows you to exercise discretion with regards to the thoughts that you are thinking. Developing your concentration is like developing and strengthening a muscle. For example, you have not been to the gym for a while, you will find your first workout torturous, difficult, and very unpleasant. But if you continue working out every day or every second day, following a regular routine, you will soon find it enjoyable and pleasant. Not only that, but you will feel good and see a noticeable change in your stamina and in your physical appearance too. It is the same with working out in the mental gym of your mind. Your mind is not used to disciplined thinking. So your first few attempts at trying to concentrate will be met with resistance. And obviously, you will not be nearly as productive as after you have been mentally working out for a while. This is important to remember. Don't be discouraged by what happens when you train for your first few times. Be patient with yourself and give yourself time to develop these new skills. It is steady and regular practice that ensures best results. And the results will come, I assure you. The technique of contemplation is the single best way I know of for developing your powers of concentration. And not only will it sharpen and strengthen your mind, but it will also give you greater insight into whatever it is you are exploring. The practice of contemplation forms an integral part of your training. With contemplation, we break through the surface ideas, truths, laws, and whatever it is we are contemplating, to explore the deeper meaning and implications. Without deep contemplation, it is almost impossible to pierce below the surface of things. And that is why most people have only a surface understanding of their reality. How often do we fool ourselves into believing that because we can quote facts or make intelligent arguments about a subject, we know everything there is to know about it? We may know something about it, but that something may be a very little piece of the whole picture, and it certainly doesn't mean we know it at all. Let me give you an example. Consider the difference between a peach picked while still small, hard and green, and one allowed to sun ripen to its sweet fullness. You could say you know what a peach tastes like after having eaten the green one, and technically you would be right. You could argue that peaches are hard and have no particular nice taste, because that is your experience with peaches. But now you sample the luscious one that had ripened on the tree, and immediately you see how much you missed. Your awareness of the possibility of peaches has just broadened immensely. You have now tasted both stages, and now you know the difference. The true potential of an unripe peach has been revealed to you. Likewise, you could say, after listening to my programs just once, that you now understand how our mind's power works. And it is true, you have received the basic information. But how different is it for an individual to not only listen to me, but to practice regularly the techniques that I suggest? This person will have a far greater capacity to know and understand the powers of the mind than someone with a mere intellectual or factual knowledge. Likewise, a person who contemplates any subject for a period of time will have a far deeper understanding than one who does not. Let us talk about how to practice contemplation. Contemplation is using your mind like a searchlight to seek out new information. It is to take up one idea or for truth and probe it deeply. It is disciplining your mind to remain focused on whatever it is you're contemplating as you rearrange its contents, thinking them over, establishing new relations, discovering hidden likenesses and previously unthought of connections. You may contemplate anything that inspires you or something that you wish to understand more clearly. For example, let us say you wish to contemplate the idea that I mentioned in one of my shows that thoughts are real forces. Using a watch to time yourself, and I suggest 5 minutes minimum and 10 minutes maximum per contemplation exercise, begin to focus on thoughts are real forces. Lose yourself in the idea, thinking deeply about it. Ask yourself questions such as, what does it mean? What are its implications? How does it affect me? Can I make this work for me? Maintain your contemplation for the allotted time. Do not allow your mind to wriggle out of the experience. During your contemplation, if your mind wanders, and it will wander, firmly bring it back to the subject of your reflections. In the beginning stages of practicing contemplation, your mind will probably drift off 10 or 20 times or even more often in a 5-minute period. Totally irrelevant thoughts will come to your mind in the middle of your practice. Memories of recent events, thoughts of task waiting to be done, desires, worries, and fantasies will enter uninvited and try to hold the field of your intention. Do not let this distract you from your exercise. As soon as you become aware of an intrusion, dismiss it and begin again at the point where you had left off. Your mind is not accustomed to being disciplined and directed in this way. It would rather meander freely and focus on whatever it chooses. Your mind will become bored and feel there's nothing more to think about. It will become restless. Ignore all these feelings and simply bring your mind back again and again to your central theme, pressing on with this inner inquiry for the prescribed time. This is true mental gymnastics and excellent training. You are now directing and controlling your mind rather than the other way around. As you continue to do this exercise over a number of days and weeks, two things will happen. First of all, by disciplining and exercising your mind in this way, you are developing your powers of concentration. This will make you more alert and creative. And secondly, your limited intellectual understanding of whatever it is you are contemplating will deepen. You will find that during the exercise you will sometimes experience a sense of excitement and enlightenment as you learn more and more about the subject of your contemplation. Perhaps it would be a good idea to keep pen and paper handy when contemplating, so you can write down any new insights as they come to you. You most certainly will find it much easier to concentrate when you write down the ideas and thoughts that you are contemplating. Writing focuses and crystallizes the mind. No other thoughts can disturb you, your thought processes. Writing is also the best way, if not the only one, to find out if your ideas are workable or if they are just fantasies. You will find yourself experiencing a synergy of a combination of an emotional level of acceptance of what you are contemplating together with a deep intellectual understanding. You will penetrate deep into the heart of the subject. The latent power of the mind is developed by exercise. The ability to think correctly and powerfully comes with practice. Begin today to strengthen your powers of concentration by practicing contemplation. You may choose to contemplate the notion that you possess a powerful subconscious mind, or that thoughts influence reality, or any other of the many life-changing principles that I mentioned in my talk so far and that I'm going to mention in my future talks. But whatever you choose to contemplate, the rewards awaiting your efforts are manifold. Let us talk about beliefs and the imprinting of beliefs. There's no area of our life about which we do not have a set of beliefs and assumptions, some of which we accepted way back in early childhood and have defended ever since. Once acquired, we rarely question these beliefs. We naturally assume that they are all true. Why else would we have them? If we think it is hard to make money, it is because it is hard to make money. If we feel we are worthless, it is because we are worthless. If we think there are no opportunities for us, it is because there are no opportunities for us. We will doubt and scrutinize almost all aspects of ourselves and our life, but our beliefs are always the last that we challenge. And yet, it is an almost foregone conclusion. What you believe is what you get. Most of us have unwittingly used our beliefs against ourselves many, many times. If you look at any of your problem areas, you will probably find that they are rooted in faulty and limited beliefs. So, if you are having problems with your relationship, examine your beliefs about relationship, all your beliefs. Likewise, if you are having problems with your health, look at your beliefs about health. If you are having financial problems, look closely at your beliefs about money. Do you think along the lines of, I'll never have enough money, and it is impossible to get ahead? These two negative beliefs, I'll never have enough money, and it's impossible to get ahead, lodged deep in your subconscious mind, are continuously at work coloring your reality. I suggest that these might not be the only limiting beliefs that you have about money. In my experience, most limiting beliefs drag a host of other undesirable beliefs along with them. I suggest you write down all your beliefs about money and success, and in all probability, the resulting list will be quite revealing. It probably contains some of the most commonly held beliefs, such as, there are no good opportunities left to make money. Money is hard to make. Successful people are selfish, and I don't want to be selfish. And I would have to give up too much to become successful. Or I don't have the right knowledge or skills. I am too afraid to make more mistakes. There are many more such beliefs, and you don't really need me to tell you. Look at your own beliefs, and you might discover quite a self-limiting, a self-defeating list. Should you belong to this category, there's no wonder that you cannot get ahead financially. You are at war with your own subconsciousness, battling a litany of beliefs which keep telling you that you would have to become selfish, that you are incapable, that you are afraid, and that you have to give up too much in order to make money. If you have health problems and you tell yourselves, everyone gets sick, there's so much disease around, I catch everything, my body is fragile, and disease is much more powerful than health, what do you think is going to happen? You confirm that your health problems are permanent and that there's nothing you can do about it. The contents of your subconscious mind are of immense concern to you. If your subconscious mind has picked up worry, negativity, or limiting suggestions, it will accept them as true. And it will work with that belief day and night, ultimately bringing about the corresponding situations. If it believes in poverty, failure, and trouble, then your subconscious will endeavor in 1,000 different ways to manifest those realities. What is contained in your subconscious mind and the experience you encounter in your life are directly connected to one another. When we accept limitations about ourselves and our world, we are caught in the trap of those beliefs. And these beliefs are always real, until we we find out otherwise. Once your subconscious mind has accepted a belief or idea, whether true or not, it will continually feed you with thoughts to support that belief. Remember what I told you in one of my previous programs about your mind's thinker and prover. The thinker can think everything you want to think, and the prover goes and finds supporting evidence for what you think. Let us say you think that it's hard to establish a loving relationship. The prover will find all the evidence you want to turn your thought into a belief. This belief, repeated to yourself, soon becomes imprinted on the subconscious mind. Once imprinted, it will feed your mind with thoughts such as, I'll never meet someone I like. It is impossible to meet a good partner. Relationships never work, and so on. Should you meet someone special, your thoughts become, well, he or she is probably not that nice. Why bother trying? It won't work anyway. Or she'd never be interested in me. Furthermore, your mind's prover, convinced that it is hard to have a good relationship, will magnify any incidents that support this belief and will completely ignore incidents which indicate the opposite. Your mind will distort our perception of reality to make it conform to your beliefs. Think you are worthless or it is hard to make money? Believe you are susceptible to poor health? Your mind's prover will find irrefutable evidence to support those beliefs and it will work overtime to manifest those realities. On the other hand, if you believe that you are a winner, or that there is money to be made everywhere, if you believe in your own vibrant health, your prover will make sure that you will find yourself surrounded by equally strong evidence supporting those beliefs. Therefore, choose your beliefs wisely. In almost all problem areas of your life, you are the problem and you are the solution. It may not seem that way, but you are encountering your resistance not from outside sources, but from inside yourself, from your beliefs. When new beliefs are accepted by your subconscious mind, whole new realities will open up. For example, let us say you believe that it's hard to make friends. Holding this belief now excuses you from making friends. It's not your fault, it's hard. It is only logical and understandable that you don't make friends. Your belief deludes you into believing that your lack of friends has nothing to do with you. If you change your belief to, it is easy to make friends, your telephone may not suddenly start ringing off the hook with dinner invitations. In fact, you may not make even a few friends, but you will have changed your focus. Suddenly, the problem is not out there. The problem is with you. Once you take responsibility for your reality, you can examine what you need to change in yourself. And sometimes, just that change of attitude will open up numerous possibilities. As you continue to believe that it is easy to make friends, your mind's prover will find plenty of evidence to support these beliefs. Your attitude will change, your perception will change, and you will make whatever changes are necessary to take advantage of this newly emerging reality. So, challenge yourself to greatness. Challenge yourself to create new, more supportive beliefs, even if on the surface you do not believe them. Remind yourself that you can voluntarily plant in your subconscious mind any thought, any idea, any belief you desire, and your mind will accept it, provided it is introduced with meaning and feeling and reinforced through repetition. The mind is a creature of habit. If you have allowed limiting concepts to root there, you can crowd them out by constructing new and more supportive beliefs, and by practicing them until the old ideas have been replaced by the new ones. So, Clean your mind. Do a mental house cleaning. Change the furniture and paint the walls. It's time to toss out all the old limiting, self-defeating beliefs, however you have cherished them, and replace them. Check the following carefully to see if you are in the habit of using even one of the following sayings. I can't do it. I'll never get ahead. There are no opportunities right now. I've tried hundreds of times. It doesn't matter what I do. It's hard to get ahead. Something always goes wrong. It won't last. Life is hard. You have to work hard for everything you achieve. Nothing comes easy. This is not the right time for me. I don't know what to do. If any of these sound familiar, begin immediately to imprint new, more supportive beliefs. Allowing yourself to succeed means being willing to give up the excuses, the security, and the other benefits we have derived from failure. Millions of people are content to stay as they are and will make no attempt to change. They believe life is hopeless and difficult, and they have resigned themselves to this fate. Nothing will shake them from it. But what about you? If you do not want to belong to this hopeless bunch, explore your possibilities. Step 1. Pick an area of your life in which you are having difficulty. It could be finance, relationships, sex, health, business, whatever. Write down all your beliefs about that area. Write them one under the other on the left-hand side of the paper. Take your time and be honest. Don't write what you think you should feel or what looks good. Write what you really feel deep down. When you have finished, examine the list and search for limiting beliefs. We are not interested in whether these beliefs are true or not, only in whether or not they are limiting. This process, if done honestly, can be quite revealing in and of itself. Step 2. Beside each limiting belief, write a newer, more supportive belief. For example, you write the limited beliefs on your left-hand side, and you start with, there are no ways for me to make money. Now, the opposite you write on the new belief you write on the right-hand side of your paper, and you write, well, there are many undiscovered ways for me to make money. On the left-hand side, the limited beliefs, it is hard to meet people. On the right-hand side, the opposite, it is easy to meet people. On the left-hand side, it is hard to make friends. On the right-hand side, the opposite again, it is easy to make friends. On the left-hand side, I'll never get ahead. On the right-hand side, I am bound to succeed. On the left-hand side, I have no time to work on this project. On the right-hand side, exactly the opposite. There will be lots of time to work on this project. You don't need to use all the examples I gave you. Just write down your own limited beliefs and then the opposite of them. Using the imprinting technique, which I explain in a minute, impress these new beliefs into your subconscious mind. Stick to one or two new beliefs in a month. Don't try to do too much at one time. As the months roll by, you will find you have a number of powerful new beliefs working for you. Now, the imprinting technique is quite simple. You have been using it almost since birth. You have used it to learn first your language, and then facts like the multiplication tables. You immediately know the answer to 6 times 6 or 8 times 7 because the answers have been imprinted in your mind through numerous exercises and repetitions. Do you remember how many times you wrote and memorized your multiplication tables? Probably not. You probably don't remember learning to read either. But you did so by the same method, continually repeating words and phrases and correcting yourself or being corrected when you mispronounced or misused them. Now you can speak your own language effortlessly because it has been imprinted into your mind. Like any other new information, ideas and beliefs must be imprinted in your mind before you can use them successfully and automatically. The thrill of a new idea cannot be sustained for long because inspiration, however strong, soon fades and disappears. However excited a person may be with a new idea, if he or she is unable or unwilling to follow through on the initial enthusiasm, inevitably, this person will lapse back into the original position, the old ways. When imprinting, use a combination of affirmation and contemplations. While repeating the idea to yourself, think about it. Make it real to yourself and ignore contrary ideas. The new concept is still a tender seed. Nurture it through its first struggling stages. Be vigilant, because without care, your unruly old ideas, like mental weeds, will take over and crowd it out. There is a necessary germination period before any new idea or belief will take root and flourish in your consciousness. This takes time. It doesn't happen by whipping past a new belief once or twice or even 10 or 20 times. True imprinting requires some time before its effects are firmly fixed in the mind. If you train 5 to 10 minutes each day with imprinting sessions, you have a very good chance to have one new belief imprinted within 3 weeks. Listening to me and doing what I'm telling you to do once or twice only will have no impact on you at all. Similarly, sitting down once a week and practicing imprinting for however long will have no effect either. You must work on it every day without exception. Oh, I have heard it many times. I have tried to believe, but I just can't, they say hopelessly. Yet, firstly, the word try itself is a very tricky one to use, because it almost inevitably asks for a but. I have tried my hardest, but it wasn't hard enough. I have tried to succeed, but I failed anyway. Secondly, you want to create new beliefs in your subconscious mind, and very often these new beliefs contradict the existing beliefs you now hold. It is simply not possible for your mind to incorporate any new belief unless you intend to imprint it daily for 3 weeks. So why waste your time and disappoint yourself with half-hearted attempts? Every new belief needs time and attention to flourish. Anything less will not succeed. Now repeat after me. Every new belief needs time and attention to flourish. Every new belief needs time and attention to flourish. Every new belief needs time and attention to flourish. Get the message? Let us talk about self-image. While almost everyone would agree on the importance of a good, healthy self-image, few of us understand how to acquire one or realize how the one we now possess was created in the first place. Our self-image is exactly what it says, an image we have of ourselves made up of ideas that we have formed over the years. Once this image becomes imprinted on the subconscious mind, it takes on a life of its own, and we forget that it is something we have created, something which can be changed and altered. Let us look closer at how a self-image is formed. In childhood, when our worth was first established, we accepted all kinds of ideas about ourselves. If our parents were loving and supportive, we most likely feel relatively good about ourselves. If our parents abused, ridiculed us, or belittled us, we may have a less positive self-image. As we grew up, moved away from our parents and out into the world of our peers and other adults, countless other experiences impressed themselves upon us. Unfortunately, if we have made a habit of dwelling upon life's inevitable disappointments, we have made disappointment the central part of our overall image. So, how do we build a strong self-image? Well, a car that is not maintained properly will inevitably become a wreck. A house that is not kept up will become run down and dilapidated. Your self-image, likewise, must be maintained if you want it to be strong and vibrant. It is through ignorance and neglect that a self-image deteriorates. Take responsibility. Take care of your self-image as you would take care of your body. Life is full of temporary disappointments, heartaches, failures, and problems. And if you are not careful, these can easily drag us down. We need to regularly reinforce our self-image in order to keep it healthy. We can do this by setting up a regular program to feed our mind with positive, uplifting, inspiring thoughts about ourselves. We can even cheat a little and include thoughts that are not yet true. Remember, your mind will accept any thought about yourself that you regularly think, true or not. And that idea will eventually become part of your self-image. Your mind does not discern whether your thoughts and ideas are workable or not, are good or bad, stupid or wise, true or wrong. Your mind accepts them all. Three useful concepts can be imprinted which will immediately strengthen your self-image. The first one is, you are unique. No one else has your thoughts, your ideas, or your ways of doing things. Most people think they are ordinary, but don't you make that mistake. Don't just recognize your uniqueness. Proclaim it through your actions and your daily thinking. Feel good about being alive and being you. Carry yourself with the dignity, the assertiveness, and the pride you deserve. Do so, and you put yourself at a very great advantage. Second, you can do anything. We forget that life affords us countless possibilities and choices, and we too often become bogged down in our day-to-day routines, losing sight of what can be done if we only put our minds to it. Think about it. You can travel to any country. You can learn any language. You can start any business. You can learn to play a musical instrument. You can join any group. You can learn any craft. You can develop any trade. You can change careers. You can begin any project. You can think any thoughts. What can you not do if you put your mind to it? You have programs already written in your vast memory of your mind that cover every possibility. A peach seed has only one possibility, and that is to be a peach. A rose cannot do anything else but become a rose. Its fate is locked into that one reality, but you have infinite potential. The seed of whatever you choose to be is contained within you. Third, you have unlimited power. Every day of your life, you wake up with limited power, with limitless power at your disposal. The power I speak of is the ability to choose your thoughts. Nobody can tell you what to think or how to think. You and you alone determine what you do with this power. You can create, build, and strengthen any area of your life. You will become whatever you consistently think about yourself. Timid thoughts create a timid person. Confident thoughts create a confident person. Weak thoughts create a weak person. Strong thoughts create a strong person. Thoughts with a purpose create a person with purpose. Visionary thoughts create a visionary person. Thoughts of helplessness create a helpless person. Thoughts of self-pity create a person filled with self-pity. Enthusiastic thoughts create an enthusiastic person. Loving thoughts create a loving person. Successful thoughts create a successful person. You are responsible for your own self-image, and you are responsible for creating and maintaining it. Acknowledge yourself regularly. Visualize, seed, and affirm positive qualities for yourself. I have come to the end of this program. Thank you for listening. Please go to my website, mindmattersonline.info. MindMattersOnline is one word. Find my email address and write to me what you think about this series. Ask me any questions you like, give me any comments and suggestions, and we'll reply to you as usual, within 48 hours. If you want to tell me about your problems, feel free to do so. I promise to give you my best possible advice. On page 3 and all following pages, you will find recordings of my previous programs for you to listen to at your convenience. For now, I leave you with wise words by Lao Tzu, and I quote, "Because one believes in oneself, one doesn't try to convince others. Because one is content with oneself, one doesn't need others' approval. Because one accepts oneself, the whole world accepts him or her." Unquote. Tune in again next week at the same old day, whether it is Thursday or Wednesday, and the old time, depending on the time zone you are in. For now, goodbye.